I would like to introduce Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty. Governor.
Great. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it very much. Well, Matt gave a great overview of the results from yesterday. I'll just talk a little bit with my hat on as the vice chair of the Republican Governors Association. As most of you or all of you probably know, this is an organization that's dedicated to good policy, but also to help get Republican governors elected or reelected. And we had two just great experiences yesterday, one in Virginia, one in New Jersey, with Bob McDonnell and Chris Christie getting elected, one being a swing state, Virginia, the other being a traditionally Democrat, at least recently a Democratic state, that was viewed to start as an uphill battle. And to have two bright, talented, wonderful Republican leaders win in those states, I think sends a significant message, not just within those states, but across the country about the acceptance of what they were campaigning on. And if you look at their messages, they're the basic bread-and-butter messages of focusing on trying to keep taxes reasonable or lower, trying to rein in spending so that we don't have a ridiculous government growth or unsustainable government growth. They spoke to the importance of jobs and the economy, particularly as it relates to training and educating the workforce, and try to create an environment where people could have access to a job. That is the number one quality of life consideration for our fellow citizens. The quality of life in Iowa, the quality of life in Minnesota and those other states is made up of a lot of different things. But the key thing it's made up of is people's ability to have a job or a pathway to an economic opportunity. And when the question got put to the voters of New Jersey and Virginia, what are those things that we can do more that make it more likely to grow jobs in our state, they turned to the Republican candidate for the answers. And an affirmation of those economic policies, I think, is a terrific message, again, within those states and across the country. We're very proud of those candidates, and I'm proud of the role that the RGA played in those two races. Next year, by the way, we have 37 governor's races on the ballot across the country. Many of those, of course, including in Iowa, many of those are going to be extremely competitive and in swing areas of the country. So we're gearing up as an RGA organization for those events and hoping and plan on our success continuing in that regard. In terms of coming to Iowa on Saturday, I very much look forward to it. Of course, Minnesota and Iowa have so much in common. You can drive across the border and not really tell the difference between the two states. We share a fondness for many things, but including Ole and Lena jokes, by the way. But one thing we share in common are heartland values. And there's heartland values in Iowa and Minnesota and other places in the middle of the country that speak to the importance of hard work, of family, of individual responsibility, of having government do the things that it needs to do that are important, but also do it effectively and do it in a limited way, and then do those things that are going to encourage job growth and economic activity in the private sector. And I know Matt and his team in Iowa, the legislature and the Republicans there, are very much focused on asking and answering the question, what are those things that we can do to increase the likelihood that jobs are going to grow in the state and create an environment where that's going to happen, not just by government growing, but by the private sector saying, we want to be here, we want to add jobs here, we want to build buildings here, we want to purchase capital equipment to make our operations more efficient and productive, and we want to do more research here, and we want to commercialize the results of the research here, all of which is geared towards trying to provide more jobs, which provides more economic opportunity and quality of life for our fellow citizens. So there are many, many other issues, but that is at the heart of the matter, particularly now in these challenging economic times. And I know that the candidates for governor in Iowa next year and the candidates for legislature in Iowa next year are going to be leading the charge like they did in Virginia and New Jersey, putting the proposition to the people of Iowa that they've got the better plan. And we'll see, the people of Iowa will turn to them for future leadership for the same reasons they saw in Virginia and New Jersey. With that, Matt, I think we can go ahead and see what questions the members of the press may have, and we'll just have an info.
I think that sounds good, Governor, and if our friends from the media would be gracious enough to introduce themselves by name and media organization before they ask their question, that would be wonderful.
Governor, this is Kay Henderson at Radio Iowa in Des Moines. You endorsed a candidate in the 23rd Congressional District in New York who did not win. What is your analysis of that race?
Well, I think the situation in 23rd District in New York is that you had an unusual selection process for the Republican candidate. It was done by a very small group of people it wasn't open, it wasn't transparent to a broad group of the party or the public, and it produced a disappointing result. And then she took the step, of course, of endorsing the Democratic candidate. And while it was close between the Democrat and Doug Hoffman, obviously the Democrat ended up winning. That's unfortunate, but I think we had a candidate in the Republican candidate who, you know, embraced the stimulus bill, embraced the bank bailouts, embraced card check, which is to say that they wanted to take away the right to vote in workplace elections. She was endorsed by an Acorn-related party or organization. She voted numerous times to raise income taxes or taxes in New York. She was described by the New York Post as a profligate spender and taxer. And so that was a troubling set of positions, I think, for many Republicans. And it was a close race. I wish it would have come out differently.
Do you intend to endorse other conservative candidates who do not run under the Republican banner in the 2010 election?
No. The difference in that race in upstate New York is there was just a lot of concern in the selection process not being open or transparent or reflective of, you know, a good judgment and screening of the broad base of people in that state or in that area. That is not the case in across the country. In almost every case, we have systems that are open, either caucuses or primaries. They allow large volumes of people to participate in a democratic and open way, and we need to look to and trust the Republicans and the people of those respective states to pick their candidates. And that process will yield the proper result. But that's very different than in upstate New York, where I think 9 or 10 or 11 people basically just cut the deal and selected this candidate.
Hi, Governor. This is Lynn Campbell with iowapolitics.com.
Hi, Lynn.
Hello. I would imagine that the reason C-SPAN is coming to televise the event on Saturday is because of your formation of the Freedom First PAC and your potential to run for president in 2012. Can you just tell us where you stand with that right now?
Well, they may be coming for lots of other reasons. We got some great gubernatorial candidates who are going to come and speak and be part of the event, and others as well. So I don't want to be presumptuous to say they're coming for me. But you know, as it relates to the PAC, we launched a national PAC called the Freedom First PAC a few weeks ago. We got a kind of an inaugural event tonight, a kickoff event in Minneapolis, which is kind of our first significant event relating to the PAC. The website for the PAC is at timpalenti.com. And in addition to finishing out my term as governor and serving the people of the state of Minnesota over the next year or so, I'm also going to take time to speak to issues that I think are important for my state and important for the country, and also try to speak to ways that I think the Republican Party and our candidates can improve and do better. Obviously, we did great yesterday, but 2006 and 2008 weren't so hot for us, and we need to improve. And I've learned some lessons here in governing in Minnesota in a pretty blue state or a pretty liberal state, and have, you know, been elected and reelected as a mainstream conservative. And through that, I think I've learned some insights and some lessons that I think would help the Republican Party do better in other places and nationally. And I'm going to share that through the Freedom First PAC. And I'm also very concerned by just on what's taking place in the country, and I won't go through it all, but I am alarmed by the rate of growth of this federal government. I'm alarmed by the rate of growth of spending in the federal government. I'm alarmed by the amount of debt and deficit that they are issuing at levels that are just extraordinary by any standard. And it's unsustainable, it's reckless, it's irresponsible, and it needs to stop. And those of us who are concerned about it need to rise up and fight it.
But are you running for president?
You know, I haven't made any decisions about what I'm going to do after being governor. You know, again, I finish up my term at the end of 2010. I'll make some decisions shortly after that about my future. But I haven't ruled anything in, and I haven't ruled anything out. I really don't know the answer to what I'm going to be doing after I'm done being governor.
Are there any other questions this morning?
Yes. Governor, this is Craig Robinson. I'm with the iowarepublican.com. Maybe a little different spin on Lynn's question would be, since you're a neighboring governor to Iowa, and I believe that you've been in the state during the caucus, what do you think of Iowa's first-in-the-nation role in selecting our president?
Well, I think it's a terrific tradition, and the caucus, we have caucuses in Minnesota. They're not as large or, you know, monitored as the Iowa caucuses, but I've had a chance to experience the Iowa caucuses a little bit as a surrogate speaker. I think it's a wonderful demonstration of democracy at the grassroots level. I think the people of Iowa, you know, take it seriously. They take time to learn the candidates and their positions. There's a great fidelity that they attach to the process. And I think it's a terrific and helpful tradition. I have great respect for it, and I think Iowa should retain that status.